We're going to be in chapter 2. I also want to let you folks know that we're still going soul winning on Saturdays. Need to come out for that soul winning on Saturdays at 11 o'clock. Very important that we go door to door. We've got this nice weather. Very important to get out there and let people know that we're here. We're also going to, during the summertime, employ a Thursday night to go out soul winning as well. And we're hoping to get that done very soon. Show up here around, I would say, probably 6 o'clock and go out for maybe an hour and knock on some doors and let people know that we're doing that as well. So if you'd like to come on this next Thursday, we'll talk about it again Wednesday, but this next Thursday I think we're going to go out around 6 o'clock if you'd like to come. For that, we're going to go and keep knocking on some more doors. So, man, this weather's nice. We can't let it rest now. We've got to go after it. And we need to be telling people that we're here, and we need to tell people all about our Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, anyhow, you say, well, nobody comes on Saturdays. Well, that's your fault. You ought to come on Saturdays. That's just the way it is. You know, folks, let me tell you this, and I won't stand on this very long. But it's amazing to me that we have an opportunity to do something for the Lord, and I believe that we ought to do something for the Lord. I believe we ought to be here. And there's days that I've missed, too. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you this right now. In our day and age, what we can do for the Lord is what we should be doing for the Lord. And what we should be doing for the Lord is telling people about Him. Now, you don't have to do this on Saturdays. You should be doing this all the time. But at the very same time, we as a church should encourage each other by being here. It doesn't even have to be for long, but we should be here to help and to go out and to hang bags on doors and to do the things that we ought to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, because He blesses us. He blesses this church. And I got to be honest with you, I'm a little worried that we don't go as much as we ought to go as people. And this is something you got to deal with on your own. I can't come to your house and grab your ear and bring you in here. Okay? I can't do that. You got to be the person that changes you. You got to want to do it. You're going to do what you want to do. Everybody does. I do things I don't want to do all the time. No, that's not true. You did them because you wanted to. You may not like that, but it's the truth. And it may not be your cup of tea, soul winning. Well, hang a bag on a door. Everybody can do that. Everybody can come out and throw stuff in bags. You know, Bethel, I worry about us because we don't do the things that God has asked us to do. I'm right with you, please. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at me, too. But, you know, why does it have to be that Dr. Gray comes and tells us about soul winning? Nothing bothers me more than that. It's no big deal. Just take this for what it's worth. I'm just kind of... It's amazing to me that a man will come and convict. And well, what have your preachers been saying? You know, I don't think we've ever said, let's not go soul winning. It's just a thought. It doesn't take much time. And here's the thing. The days are growing short. If you don't believe that the Lord's very soon to come back, we're taking a vacation from Him. He could come back today and say, why weren't you there on Saturday? Now, you must understand something. You come in this foyer, you're going to say, well, where's all these people? A lot of people are out before you get here already going soul winning for their bus routes and everything else. Believe me, we got a whole crew of people that go out. We can't get too discouraged because I know, only 6 showed up. That's not true, because we've got at least 10 to 15 that go out on their bus routes at 10 o'clock in the morning and are already out long before we get here. I'm not upset about, well, we don't have enough people. What I'm upset about is, why are our hearts so hard and so cold that we don't want to go out and spend an hour for Jesus Christ putting bags on doors in the midst of a beautiful day? Why? Listen, don't look at me and get snot-faced. It's on us. Me too. Hey, I was here. I had a funeral yesterday. Get mad at me all you want to. I was here. I didn't show up in the foyer, but I was preaching a funeral while you were meeting in the foyer. And after the funeral, by the way, my wife and I and my mother-in-law and my daughter went out and we did door knocking and hanging bags. I was here. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, why is it that we'll accept any blessing that Jesus Christ wants to give us? Has anybody turned one down yet? Think about this for a minute. Have you turned down one blessing that God's given you? No, God, don't give me that blessing. No, God, don't do that. No. You know one of the greatest blessings you can get in the whole wide world is hanging a door bag and watching somebody come because you did? You're turning that blessing down. I'm too busy. That's a true statement. You're too busy. You're too busy and you ought to be less busy. Bill. You know, and there, here's the truth of it too. And he ought to be. Here's, you're not going to like this either, but he needs to be out. He needs to be out. He needs to be encouraged. He needs to go. Thank God we had a beautiful day yesterday. Beautiful day. I bet you we had about a grand total of probably 20 people out soul winning, which ain't bad. That's to me, that's not too bad. I just want to know where we all were. Even for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I just wonder, because the times are growing short and we want to be blessed by God. We want to have this, we have this desire for God to bless us. We have this desire for God to do things for us. We have the desire. We pray, oh God, please. But one of the greatest blessings he can ever give you is watching somebody come in because of your feet that you walked for your hour or your half hour or whatever you did. That hour, that time that you spent, God wants to bless you. God wants to give something to you. God wants to be there for you and do things. And we ask him, but it's amazing to me. Here, let me put it to you this way. If your child's got a clean room, it sure is easier to get them an ice cream cone. Yeah, that's a dumb illustration. Is it really? You know what, I wonder if God wants to bless us more or would like to bless us more if we would do more things for him. I just wonder. No, I know I'm not a prosperity preacher. Well, you do this, God will give you this. I'm not saying God's going to give it to you. I'm just saying God would be a lot more ready to if we would do things for him. Just a thought. Just a thought. Just a thought. First, I should have saved that to the end. You'd be more interested in the lesson today. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 35. We talked last week about Eli, his ministry coming to an end because he decided to not discipline his sons. He told them they ought not do those things, but he didn't remove them from service. Be very careful not to judge Eli too harshly, because if we were put in that position, we may do the very same thing. They're our children, and we don't want our children to be cast away. We don't want our children to be hindered in any way. In this day and age, it's even worse than ever. But understand this, Eli told them not to do the things, but Eli should have went further. Eli had their responsibility as the high priest, not just as dad. See, that's where the road stops, is when the priesthood is threatened. They're his sons, I understand that, but then you have to transcend being dad to being the high priest. He then, being the high priest, had to tell his sons that you are now removed from service because you are not doing the right things, and it's hurting the people. Now, we're not just hurting them, it was hurting the people. And God lowers the boom on him in verse 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in mine habitation, and honorest thy sons above me." He tells Eli, listen, you are holding your sons above God to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of my people, of Israel, my people. "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I don't believe Eli ever thought in his mind that God was believing that he was despising God. Think about that. That's a heck of a statement. It's a statement saying, Eli, you're despising me because you're not doing what I have said. You're despising me because I've given you this position. I've put you in this position. And because I've put you in this position, you're supposed to act a certain way. And you're supposed to act a certain way, holding me above all the other things. And you've decided not to. Therefore, you despise me. Boy, think about that for a minute. How many times have we despised God because we've chosen self over Him? God looks at it as despising Him. The amen stopped quickly. 31 says, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. I want to draw your attention to this verse as we're going to begin the lesson today. I will raise me up a faithful priest. Throughout all that, we did a long Old Testament study on the kings. And every king seemed to have this prophet, seemed to have this priest that God would tell the priest and the priest would tell the king. It was a great relationship, although God never wanted a king. God never desired to have a king over the people. God desired to be the king over the people. So he sent this man, this priest, this prophet, this person that would be able to go ahead and go to the king with the Lord's word. And if the king would heed to the Lord's word, the nation would go well. If the king would not heed to the Lord's word, the nation would not go well. But this king, this priest, had to be a person that was faithful to what God wanted, not to what man wanted. It had to be a priest that was faithful, that would do what God would have him to do and not worry about what man would have him to do. The best priests, the best prophets were the ones that were ornery. The best prophets were the ones that would tell the king that this is what God hath said. Those were the best prophets. The best prophets weren't worried about what the king had to say, weren't worried about what the people had to say. The best prophets were the ones that were only worried about what God had to say. Now you've got Eli here that was more interested in saving his sons and helping his sons than what God had him to do. If Eli was concerned about what God wanted, he would have said, Hophni and Phinehas, you must go because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And by the way, that wouldn't be the first church ever that had the associate pastors underneath the head pastor. Wouldn't be the first one where the associate pastors destroyed the work of God because they decided to do what they wanted to do and not what God wanted them to do. Wouldn't be the first one. It happens all the time where associate pastors get in their mind that they're better than the preacher. Associate pastors get in their mind that they can go ahead and say, hey, the old man ain't got it anymore. We're going to do what we want to do. Boy, dad could have been doing this all these years. And instead, he did this. You know, it's amazing to me, these boys fall apart because they took their eyes off their dad that had his eyes on God. I don't believe Hophni and Phinehas ever had their eyes on God. See, this is a different thing too. You must understand something. I love my dad. I owe everything to him. I really do. I know that. But believe me when I tell you that if my dad should not have to rely on me relying on him, my dad should rely on me relying on God. That's the difference. I should have my eyes focused on God. I should have my eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, not have my eyes focused on my daddy. If the boys would have had their eyes focused on God, if their boys would have had their eyes focused on the Lord, if the boys would have had their eyes focused on what God had and God's word, they would have never got into that position. Don't blame it on Eli. It's not his fault. Although Eli should have brought down punishment, Eli should have never had to bring down punishment. Amen? So we look at this scenario that's happening here, but God says, through all of this, I'm going to raise me a faithful priest. If you understand, we've been studying Samuel. We've been studying about what Samuel has to do and what Samuel's going to do, how Samuel's donated by his mama to the Lord, and he's there in the midst of all this chaos and all this craziness. Samuel's growing up before the Lord. We talked about a couple weeks ago, don't use other people around you as an excuse. I'm tired of that mess.
I'm tired of, well, if you, Brother Bill Greaves, boy, did you see what he did? And because of that, I'm not coming to church anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't work with God. That doesn't work. I got news for you. I'm not here because Bill Greaves here. And you ought not be here because he's here. You ought not be here to impress somebody else. You ought to be here because that's what God wants. It's amazing to me. Is it encouraging that you're here? Yes. I would love to have all these pews filled. I understand. I really would. But at the very same time, I hope you're not here because of me or anybody else. I hope you're here because that's what God said you ought to do. I'll raise me up a faithful priest. Didn't say dynamic priest. Huh? It was a faithful priest. Somebody that would do what God wanted him to do all the time. Faithful. I like faithful. I like people with longevity. I like people, boy, I tell you, how many are there? People that have come through these doors. We talked, we went through a yearbook. Shauna Lexoff had her graduation party yesterday. And we were going through a yearbook of the school in his first full year. And we started looking through these things. There was only like two or three children out of all those kids that are still here, that still attend this church. Can you imagine the fly-by nights? They come in for a little while and then they're gone. And you know, they're all over the place. I'm sure that if we look through the Bible, we won't see God says, hey, come to church for a month, and if you don't like it, leave. Huh? Hey, there's nothing wrong with not liking a church, but go find you another one. What's amazing to me, what's amazing to me, but I don't like your church, but you won't be in church next Sunday. Anywhere. Find one that you like, that God likes, an independent, fundamental Baptist, King James only. Go ahead, get yourself another one. But I tell you, that's amazing. People don't go to church. They're not faithful anymore. I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart, what God wants. And in my mind, God's mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. He shall walk before mine anointed forever. That is his king. He's going to go before the king. He's going, and this boy, I tell you what, I would to God, Brother Rod, we had today a president of the United States that would care enough to get the advice from a good preacher. That's the way God had it structured. The way God had it structured was he'd have a king. David wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. David was a king. Good one. And by the way, David being a good king relied on the prophet of God a lot, because he wanted to get what God had. Sometimes what God has does not make sense to us. Well, I didn't realize that God's mind had to make sense to us. A lot of the things in the Bible, I look at and, boy, I can't make heads or tails of it. I'm not supposed to make heads or tails of it. I'm supposed to believe it. You say, well, what doesn't make sense to you, preacher? I'll tell you what doesn't make sense to me. The fact that he had mercy enough to send his only begotten son to die for me. That doesn't make any sense to me. But did he do it? Sure he did. And I believe that. That's what matters. At the end of the day, we need to have a faithful priest. We need to have a faithful man who is willing to stand up and not say what the king wants, but say what the king wants. Look at this now. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat a piece of bread. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. This is a nation that is headed south in a hurry. This is a nation that is very similar to the nation that you live in today. A nation where there's no open vision. A nation where the things of God are not relevant anymore. The things of God have become archaic. The things of God have become skewed and perverted. The things of God are not the same as they used to be. Why? Because there's no prophets that are willing to stand. And by the way, the multitudes aren't willing to hear the prophets anymore. But that does not give us the right to stop preaching. Amen? And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Boy, that's a message right there. I've heard a lot of times. That's a great message right there. Where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I?
He ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. This is where I love to bring people. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I love it when people say that God can't hear unsaved people. One of my favorite things in the whole wide world. God can't hear. You ever heard that before? There is a scripture that says that, but it's somebody else saying it. God's not saying it. Jesus isn't saying it. Somebody else. We all know that he doesn't hear the prayers of the lost. Let me tell you something. How do you get saved if he doesn't hear the prayer of the lost? And then he said, then they'll come right back. Well, he hears that one. Let me explain something to you. God knows the beginning and the end. He knows everything. Nothing ever occurred to God. Can I ask you a question? What business is it of ours? God gives us a structure for him hearing our prayers. Amen? He does. He really does. Sometimes we ask amiss. Sometimes things hinder us. He gives us that structure. To sit there and say that he does not hear Judy's prayers is dumb. Why? Because I'm not her. And God will hear who he wants to hear. God will not hear who he doesn't want to hear. I believe he hears them all, just chooses to answer them in such a manner as he sees fit. Why? Because he's God. I love people that put God in a test. We got to figure this out. We got to try to understand this. No, you don't. Just believe that God is. It's amazing to me. You look down to this. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Notice he didn't say, Speak, Lord. Wasn't saved yet. Amen? And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Boy, I would to God our preaching would do that to people today. I would to God our preaching would do that to people today, that your ears tingle, your heart would start to pound, you start to realize that you've got to do something for the Lord. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Let me help you a little bit with that verse. You messed up back in those days. You offered sacrifice. Basically said you're sorry. Asked God to forgive you. Just had to do things to do it. This verse is telling you, do you realize that God's not going to hear that forever? Now, let me explain that a little bit. Well, God always forgives. He always does. He really, really does. But you know there's a time. You ever hear a kid say sorry, but they didn't really mean it? See, with sorry is one thing, but then godly repentance is another. Sorry is sorry. I'll never forget, I got into an automobile accident. I was driving preacher's truck. Boy, he loved that truck. I wreck everything that's nice for him. I'm driving that truck down the road. This lady comes left to center and just hits my wife and I head on in the truck. I spin her around, send her up into the yogurt shop there, or the custard shop there in Streetsboro. And she gets out of the vehicle. She comes back, lights up a cigarette. She was staggering real bad. You could tell she'd been drinking. She looked at me and said, sorry, and turned around and went back to her car. I don't know, did she mean it? Okay. She didn't mean it. And at the same time, you hear people say that they're sorry, but there really isn't godly repentance with it. Godly repentance is different. See, godly repentance is heading in a direction, saying, God, I'm sorry, and turning another direction. See, what happens with folks is that they take this path. And by the way, do you think there was any time ever that
Was God ever not ready to hear Eli's confession, not ready to hear Hophni and Phinehas? Do you believe that God didn't have his hand out of forgiveness saying, please turn from your wicked way? Do you think that that wasn't always there? Sure it was. God always wants you to change. God always is willing to let you change. God is always willing for you to repent. God is always willing to have you show up on Saturdays. God is always willing to have you show up on Wednesday nights. God's always willing to have you show up for Sunday school. God's always willing. All you got to do is change your life and decide that you're going to serve God. But there's a day when God is sick of hearing sorry. There's a day when offering and that will no longer. God says, no, you've done it too many times. You don't care. The forgiveness is not there. I don't care what anybody says to me. This is something that's not easy to swallow, but you know it as well as I do. There's a time when God says enough is enough. Tell me I'm wrong. See, there's a time when God says, you're praising me with your lips, but your works are far from me. Your heart's far from me. Your life's far from me. You say that you love God, but you don't show me. There's a time when God says enough's enough. I don't know when that is, by the way, neither do you. I don't have any idea when God has said, you know what? The time has come. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. If Eli repents here, and oh God, please, the die has been cast. God says, what I have begun, I will also make an end. Did I not read that in the scripture? Eli knows he's wrong. He's known he's wrong for a long time. The boys knew they were wrong. They knew they were wrong for a long time. But God said, this is what must be. Christian, I'm begging you today, don't ever get to that point with God. Don't ever get to that point with God where your heart is so hard that you no longer want to do what God wants you to do. Don't ever get to a point in your life where you say, God, there's no way. I'm not going to come anymore. Oh, God, I'm sorry, but I'm still going to go to the Cleveland game instead of going to church. By the way, don't go to a Cleveland game. God bless your hearts. Steeler tickets maybe, but not Cleveland. I'm just kidding. And then Grandma Sue woke up. Anyways, if you look at... Let's go to verse 15. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here am I. He said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Eli knew he was at that point. Eli knew he had messed up. Eli knew that it was time for God's judgment to be cast. Samuel grew. And the Lord was with him. And look at this now. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. I would to God we were Christian enough. In the midst of all this, do you think that the news that Samuel got, that God is doing this to his mentor, Samuel still grew before the Lord? Samuel didn't use, I'll give you an example. Do you think I was happy when my dad was sick? Come on now. He's been faithful before the Lord for all these years. Amen? Come on now. You think I was happy that he was sick? I'm going to tell you right now, there's a couple choices you can make. Brother Rod, you're a good example too, brother. Does Debbie deserve what she's going through? Come on now. Can we get real this morning? I'm tired of pussyfooting. I understand that Debbie's sick. I get it. I understand that my preacher was sick. I understand that. And by all means, we can say, oh man, God, how dare you? But you know what? I got to be honest with you, brother. No, sir. You've got to keep preaching. No, sir. He cannot stop preaching because his wife's sick. He cannot stop serving the Lord because his wife's sick. Boy, that don't preach good, does it? It's difficult serving God. What did he ever say would be easy? Easy comes when we die or the rapture comes.
I wasn't happy that my preacher was sick. I could have shook my fist at God too, but I decided, you know what, I better keep preaching because that's what God has me to do. I better keep praying because that's what God has me to do. I better not be upset with my Lord because my Lord did not do this to him. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a horrible world, and I know that's not easy. I understand that. Didn't say it was easy, but that doesn't give you the liberty to do whatever you want to do. Samuel grew on in the midst of all this. Samuel grew on knowing that Eli was going to be taken out, knowing that Eli was going to have these things happen to him, knowing that Eli was going to lose his sons, knowing that Eli's house would not continue, knowing that his mentor was going to go down. Samuel grew on before the Lord. I don't know, Brother Rod, but I'm going to take a little liberty with your life here. Very little, because I don't want you to get mad at me. No, hey, listen to me. I would venture the guess that because he stayed faithful, I'm just venturing a guess here. You can take it up with him later if you'd like. I would venture a guess that he's gotten closer to the Lord during this time. He's gotten better with preaching. He's gotten more out of the Word of God through this time because he did not shake his fist at God, because he did not blame God, because he kept serving God, because he kept being faithful. I've got to believe that Brother Rod is better now than he was before. Tell me I'm wrong. Why? Because he had some adversity that God had to bring him through. Instead of blaming God, he praised him. Here's Samuel. He's not even saved. He's not even saved yet. Serving God as a child, seeing all these things and knowing. God gave him the information personally that's going to happen to Eli, and yet there he is still serving God. Boy, I tell you, as Christians, we are a rather pathetic bunch. Samuel, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Verse 19 again, he did let none of his words fall. That's God's words. He studied God's word relentlessly. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Why? Because he did what God wanted him to do. And God established him, not Samuel. Samuel didn't run around the country telling everybody he was a prophet. He let God do it. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I believe he gets saved right there. He reveals himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I believe that's his salvation point. The word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and if you look at these next few verses, you next few things, you see that Samuel starts to have what God has for him and relays that to the king. Now, this is where I'm going to park for just a minute. Why do you come to church? I want you to think with me. Don't answer the question, please. The coffee's not that good. Why do you come to church? Why would you come to hear a man of God preach? Why would you want to bring your Bible, open up your Bible, and read along with the preacher while he's preaching or whatever's going on? Why would you want to bring your Bible to church? Why would you want to come and listen to what God has to say? These questions that I'm asking you are something you almost have to answer. Now, I don't need your answer audibly, but you've got to answer it yourself. I mean, you need to be honest. Why do you come? Do you come because it's the right thing to do? Do you come because you feel that coming to church puts you on God's good side? Do you come to church because you have friends here? Do you come to church because you like to tell people that you go to church?
all of those reasons, although they seem like they'd be just fine, are rotten reasons to come to church. God should become a life to you. God should become something that is greater than just a Sunday. It never ceases to amaze me how empty the building is for Sunday school. And I'm so excited that you're here. Please don't misread me. I'm just trying to get us to think today. I'm so excited that you're here. It encourages me. How empty it is on Sunday school, how full it is for Sunday morning, how empty it is for Sunday night, and how emptier still it is for Wednesday night. Now, the question I have is this, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, I'm trying to make you think. Why do we come to church? Do you pray about the church service that is upcoming? Do we pray about the Sunday school lesson that Brother Dave would have, what God wants me to have today to bless my life? And by the way, I covet your prayers. I want you to pray for the Sunday school. I want you to pray that it's good and what you need. I want you to pray. Why? Because I'm no good on my own. I've got to have God with me. If I don't have God with me, you're coming to hear tinkling brass. You're coming to hear cymbal. I don't want you to hear foolishness. I don't want you to hear noise that means nothing. I want you to hear from God at Sunday school. I'm the first to admit I'm not a very good teacher. I'm a preacher. That's how I teach, loud. But understand this. God has got to become more to you than what he is. God has got to become more to me than what he is. And the devil has done such a very good job. Samuel, in the midst of all this, come on, this is what I'm trying to get you to see. Samuel, in the midst of all of these things, still heard from God. Samuel, in the midst of all this badness, still grew before the Lord. Samuel, in the midst of all these things, still did not let one word of God drop. He wanted to have it all. He came ready to get blessed. He came ready to study God. He came ready to know what God has for him. And our lives, not doing bad things, by the way. Please don't misread me. You're not doing bad things. It's just we aren't doing the best thing. What can we do for our Lord? What can we do for God? What can we do? I'm talking personally. To me too, by the way. I'm going to tell you, during school, I got to be honest and open with you. During school, school overtakes a lot of my life. Rightly so. It kind of comes with the territory. But at the very same time, there are days that I must admit to you, there are days that when I'm working with the school, I'm not as close to God as I'd like to be, if you understand what I'm saying. There's days that I don't maybe study as much as I should because issues happening at the school kind of take my focus off things a little bit. I'm willing to tell you that because I know that we all face those things. I know we all face these lives that are very, very difficult. But let me tell you something. I always make the statement, I don't know how unsaved people make it throughout their day without the Lord. Come on, you got to be honest with me. How does an unsaved person make it in this life today? I don't know how people make it without God. I don't understand. With no relationship. Okay, let me take that one step further. How do saved people make it throughout the day without Lord? How do saved people make it throughout the day? Think about that for a minute. You folks that work 100 hours a week, how do we make it every day without the Lord? Without taking a moment to peruse His Bible. Forget the calendar. Throw that away for a minute. Just read me one verse. Give me something. Give God something. Do you think about God? Is there a moment that you pray to Him? In the midst of all this, don't give me the excuse of your life. Don't give me excuse of your trials. Don't give me excuse of all these things. God can still be talked to. God can still be studied. God can still be read about. God can still be prayed to. God can still be part of your life in the midst of all your life. By the way, how much better is your life going to be if you've got Him as being part of it? Christians, I'm going to tell you, where we fall apart, and I'm including myself and everybody in this room, I don't believe anybody is short of this. Where we fall apart is in our busy lives. That's where we fall apart, and you know I'm right. The devil has done a fantastic job at making it impossible to pay for the bills that we've made. unless we work 8 million hours a week and stay away from the things of God. Tell me I'm wrong. If you had the opportunity to work right now for quadruple time on a Sunday morning, would you find yourself in church, or would you find yourself on the job? You understand, I can't pay my bills. Let me tell you something. I believe the Bible talks about God being a pretty wealthy fella. And this, again, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but God will take care of you. I will tell you this. God's not into paying your $8 million JCPenney card because of the skirt you just had to have. But he is interested in taking care of your needs, because he promised to do that very thing. As I look at Samuel, I see the impossibility that it is to serve God in this world. I hear preachers, and I guarantee you, Brother Rod, in all his travels, hears preachers say, what we're doing, it just doesn't matter anymore, or it's just different today. You know what? It's not different today. It's not. It's not different today. I've come to think, well, you live in a different day and age. We do live in a different day. We do live in a different age. But the devil is the same. God is the same. The life out there that's trying to take us away from God is the same. The life that's calling us to go serve God is the same. Our lives being busy because gas is $4 a gallon instead of a quarter. Well, a quarter was worth a whole lot more back when a quarter was a quarter than a $4 bill is today. You used to be able to buy bread for a nickel. Well, a nickel today is on the ground. A nickel today is irritating because it's so heavy in your pocket. Back then, a nickel meant something. Back then, you were only getting paid 50 cents an hour to work. The times are the same. We are just getting lax in them. Boy, that didn't go over well. That didn't go over well. I got to work 75 hours a week. I got to work on Saturday, preacher. I'm talking, did I say Saturday? How about Sunday too? You know, it's amazing to me that we live in the time when God can do the most. Got the most people. Got the most technology. If we would spend, and you know where I'm going, I'll just hang with me, the doors are locked. If you would spend a tithe of your time that you spend on Facebook, spreading the gospel on Facebook. I said spreading the gospel on Facebook. I said spreading the gospel on Facebook. Inviting people to church on Facebook. If you would spend that, I would just about get on board with your Facebook. But until you can show me, until you believe, and hey, take it before God. Don't take it before this preacher. Take it before God and say, God, what I'm doing right now, are you pleased with it? The day, the age, different, but everything is still the same. In the midst of all this toil and turmoil, all these things that are happening to Samuel, there's Samuel going before the Lord, doing what God wants him to do. And we can do it in this day and age too. We can grow before the Lord. We can do things. If we get ourselves out of the way, well, there's somebody stopping me. That somebody is you, Jack. That somebody that's stopping you from serving God is you. Don't tell me it's anybody else. Don't tell me it's Brother Dave. Don't tell me it's Pastor Skyler. Don't tell me it's Rod Black, although Rod stops a lot of people. Don't tell me any of that. It's not people, it's you. Just you. You go out and buy a car. Does preacher stop you from buying the car that you want? Huh? You see him at the dealership tackling you before you go and buy that car? No. You do what you want to do. I just think we got to change our wanna. Samuel, here he is. Here it is. Samuel grew before the Lord. In the midst of all that problem, he grew before the Lord. He noticed that the preacher wasn't doing right. He noticed that the sons weren't doing right. The associate pastors, there's his child. He could have let himself be affected, but he didn't. He served God anyhow. In the midst of all this, he served God anyhow. I'm not just challenging you today, folks. I'm challenging me too. Because there's times I don't want to serve God because of things that come up. And that should not be so. Yes, our flesh is weak. Yes, I understand that. But we should be wanting to serve God no matter what comes up. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Rod Black, can you use some prayer, please?